The gist for biggest two-day exercise study ever validates the energy problems in ME/CFS, part one. Every once in a while in the chronic fatigue syndrome or ME/CFS world, we get a really big study, and this is one of those. For one, it validates and expands upon the findings of past smaller two-day exercise studies, and that's a big deal. The two-day exercise studies, after all, occupy a unique place not only in ME/CFS, but in the medical research world. These types of studies were largely abandoned decades ago after researchers concluded that even people with serious medical conditions were able to duplicate the results of their first day on the second day. It seems that human beings, even when they are very ill, can produce the same amount of energy from one day to the next. At least that was the thinking until Stacey Stevens and the Workwell Foundation showed in a landmark study that was not true for ME/CFS. The results were so shocking that the exercise physiology world essentially ignored them. Since then, smaller studies have been done, but what we really needed was a nice big study, and that's what we now have. Thanks to Maureen Hansen and her NIH-funded ME/CFS Research Center, we have a nice, big, well-funded, rigorously produced two-day CPET study. These two-day CPET studies are crucial because they are the only studies that have definitively shown that intense exercise one day somehow knocks down energy production the next day in people with ME/CFS. i.e., they validate the post-exertional malaise symptom in ME/CFS. The study comes at a good time. Another exercise physiologist, Dane Cook, found that after controlling for aerobic fitness, all the problems with energy production that the other studies found disappeared, potentially giving a death blow to a core understanding of ME/CFS. This study, which used sedentary healthy controls, took up Cook's challenge, but after controlling for aerobic fitness, it found the same energy production problems that the studies Cook's dismissed found. That is, when asked to engage in an intense but short exercise bout, people with ME/CFS couldn't produce as much energy, use as much oxygen, or last as long, or do as much work as the sedentary healthy controls. The authors also proposed that Cook's matching of some of his female with male participants in his study underestimated the energy production problems that were present. The pulse pressure findings suggested that impaired blood flows and oxygen delivery to the muscles probably play a major role in the exercise problems in ME/CFS. The findings from the second CPET exercise test followed on the findings from the first. It indicated that the first exercise test had indeed damaged ME/CFS patients' ability to produce energy in a number of ways. Contrast that with the sedentary but healthy controls who displayed a normal recovery from the exercise and no change in energy production, peak oxygen consumption, or peak work. The study also found that the first exercise session damaged the ability of the hearts of ME/CFS patients to respond normally during the second exercise session. i.e., the ME/CFS patients, but not the healthy controls, demonstrated chronotropic incompetence. The authors also took a shot at the conclusions of the NATH intramural study, stating that the effort preference findings should not have been applied to the exercise test results, and that muscle problems in ME/CFS, rather than the brain, could have contributed to the low exercise results. This large study validated, hopefully for the last time, the findings of all the two-day CPET studies that have gone before. I still remember being gobsmacked at the implications of Workwell's 2009 two-day CPET finding. As I wrote the blog, A Crack in the Foundation, I thought, this will change everything. It has been changing everything, but much more slowly than I would have thought. Now that we have a big, rigorous study whose results cannot be denied, thanks so much to the pioneers who have led the way over the past 25 years. They are courageous people who have bucked the system, perhaps at a cost to themselves. So, thank you so much, Stacy and Jared Stevens, Chris Snell, Mark Van Ness, and Todd Davenport at Workwell. Thank you to Betsy Keller and her Ithaca group, and to Maureen Hansen at Cornell. Thank you to the Van Kampen, Rowe, and Visser team. Thank you to Rudy Vermeulen and your group. And thanks more recently to Jong Han Lim and his Korean group. Thanks as well to over 250 people who have brought Health Rising about 80% of the way to its goal as we look to wrap up the drive shortly.